Hey, this is Brandon Crawford from the San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants, with hosts Willie Dills, Chad King, and Ben Lee.
Let's go, Giants!
Dedicated to the greatest team in Major League Baseball history, the San Francisco Giants, this is TortureCast.
Welcome, everybody, to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. My name is Willie Dills. This is episode 93, and we're coming off of a really, really rough weekend, and we're going to talk all about that and more. But to do that, I'm going to need some co-hosts. So let's introduce all of my co-hosts, starting with Mr. Chad King. What's up, Chad? Welcome to the show.
Hey, happy to be back, and also happy to report that my skin was not toasted or burned in Maui.
Yeah, you came back from Hawaii, right? So yeah. You were okay.
Yeah,
that's a nice long trip, actually. Too.
Oh man, it was fantastic. I kept my skin nice and white and clean and baby smooth, but my eyes were burned.
Someone might take
days.
Offense by that. Just so you know, just be careful.
No, I just have
non-burned.
I have no melanin in my skin. I eat Insta-Crisp, so
yeah,
it was good. Nah, fantastic. Good to be back, though. Good to be back on the podcast.
Welcome back, sir, and welcome back as well to Mr. Ben Lee. What's up, buddy? Good to see you.
I don't think I've got anything to humble brag about nearly as good as Chad does, so I'm just going to go with, hey, guys, nice to be back. Good to see everybody.
And, of course, also Stuck joining us is cry. Mr. Eric Nathanson, who was not in Chicago this weekend but does have plenty of experience with Chicago. What's up, man? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing all right. I'm still gut punched from this weekend. That's rough losing the Cubs like that.
It was not good. It was not, and that was a huge series for a lot of reasons. One of them being that the Cubs were the team right below us in the wild card, and
They're
good for the first time in a while. And also, some friends of the show were actually out there for the entire series,
right?
Which is just the worst time.
Vicariously through them, and it was just sad.
Yeah, so I think it was, Ben, do you know who all went? I know Allie and Jen, I think
Allie,
Carmen, right?
Jen, Carmen, and I think there were a couple of their other friends that have not appeared on the show before that went as well.
And they went to every game at Wrigley, and actually a buddy of mine was there too.
I think they went to U.S. Cellular today too, so they're taking the grand tour, baseball grand tours.
Yeah, they did Miller Park on Thursday.
Oh, crap, that's right.
Baseball double grand tour, excuse me.
So I had a buddy of mine, Lewis, who was actually out there as well. And then next weekend, my mom and my stepdad are actually going to St. Louis because my stepdad's a huge Cardinals fan and has never gone to a game at Busch Stadium. So,
that's cool.
Yeah, everyone's traveling with the team right now. Hopefully the team doesn't let us down and continue to lose. But
we should stop sending our acquaintances.
Maybe that's the problem. Yeah, just stop going.
Clearly the problem is you all need to stay home.
Yeah.
I think the real problem might be our leadoff hitter and our starting rotation, but you know, we'll get into that as we get further into the show. So let's just talk about this series and what it really means. You know, it's depressing to lose a 4-game series because you know you get swept in a 3-game series. It's fine, right? It's like it happens. It's a fairly common thing that will happen several times during any season, whether it's a good or bad season. But the 4-game sweep. Is kind of it's really hard to win 4 games. It's really hard to lose 4 games.
Mm-hmm. It just feels that much longer.
Yeah.
Just that much longer.
Yeah. And it's really, really disappointing when it comes against a team that you are actually in direct competition with for a playoff spot.
Right.
So it just kind of all the things came together to really make this a rough weekend. So, Eric, you're from Chicago originally, right?
Yeah.
That's where you grew up. So, I mean, talk a little bit about what this weekend, you wrote about this a little bit too. What do you think is like going to come out of this? Where the Giants stand right now? What's just an overall kind of feeling?
I personally think the Giants, it's funny, they're going to come out fine in all this. It was something that got to kick boost the Cubs. You know, they got to play in like some high pressure games and beat the old guard Giants. But I mean, LA's not doing a damn thing right now. So the Giants still have a chance to shoot for the division and jump on it. But it was just heartbreaking because you thought on Sunday for like 10 minutes there, oh my God, they have the bases loaded. They're going to get to steal one. This isn't going to be so bad.
Mm-hmm.
and then they crushed you.
Yeah.
They struck out three straight times. It was just, that was absolutely gut punch of a loss, because they were so close to just stealing one back, and the road trip's not going to be that bad. You know what I mean?
It's amazing how good that would have felt if they had come and pulled that out, because it just, not only the comeback, that feels good, but then you go, okay, they only lost two games, you know, in terms of ground to the Cubs instead of four.
Yeah.
And I mean, it just, it would have been so much more palatable, but to watch it, I mean, if, you know, if they lined out in a double play or some amazing catch or, no, three straight pathetic strikeouts.
Just whiffs.
Yeah. Whiffs.
The thing is, though, it's tough, too, because we're so used to the Cubs not being particularly good. Like, there was that 2008 year, but for the most part, like, the Cubs squeaking into the playoffs is, even that seems like an optimistic outlook. And so it's really good to see the Cubs doing well, but it's not something we're used to. So for us, to the idea of dropping four to the Cubs, who are you are competing directly with for the wild card, it seems like it shouldn't happen. Like, it's been ages since we've been swept at Wrigley, but it's been ages since we even lost a series at Wrigley. But that was against a set of very different Cubs teams, and it's hard to forget that.
The first four game sweep at the hands of the Cubs since 1977.
So. Wow. Yeah, that's a long time. So that puts us 3.5 games back of Chicago as for the wild card. And, of course, because the helpful Pittsburgh Pirates went ahead and swept the Dodgers,
thanks, we Kutch.
Remain 3 games
back. Raising the Jolly Dodgers. Roger now.
Thanks, Chris Stewart.
Oh, that's great.
Which, yeah. So, I mean, okay. And, Eric, you mentioned that, you know, the Giants are going to come out okay because we didn't necessarily lose ground in the more important division race.
Mm-hmm.
The problem I have with this, though, is that, yeah, you can say that, but you can't really rely on other teams to do your work for you, you know? So even though, yeah, we didn't lose much ground, it still just feels bad to be losing the way we are, to be struggling in so many key positions. And when you're talking about down the stretch, I believe the Giants are, when everything is right with them, a much better team than the Dodgers. Unfortunately, everything's not right with them, and they don't, to me, look like a team that's supposed to be in the playoffs if you're talking about the last couple weeks, right?
Well, the injuries have been pretty rough, but you know what? I have to say the Dodgers have been pretty snake-bit, too, recently with injuries and everything. Yeah. In fact, they have the most starting pitchers that have gone for them this season.
16!
Out of any major league team. So, I mean, they're struggling just like the Giants with injuries, and so hopefully the Giants can capitalize on that. And obviously you want to win the division and not the wild card. And right now, with the Dodgers being down, what, 8-0 in the eighth inning right now?
Oh, yeah, the Nationals are whipping them right now.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to be only 2.5 back of L.A. So, I mean, not only are they a game closer, but that's what they want to get. It just would have been if they stole one, maybe two. You know, they could have been looking at a 1.5 or half game back, you know, situation. But look, they got 7 more against the Dodgers. They got plenty of time, so it's
we're
no matter we're how woeful all the Giants stretch, fans though. Are. If you said they're 2.5 back of the division on August 10th or whatever it is, I'd take it.
Yeah,
you know, does this seem to you guys though like this is going to be one of those years where you look at the division, you say you kind of got to win the division because the division overall is not very good.
I mean, I think that like the wild card is less of a thing that you can rely on as just your secondary option this season. Because I think what you're looking at is you're looking at two teams that are essentially have better records than the Dodgers, and to try to say you're going to catch them is a much tougher proposition. Yeah. So
Now the odds makers still have L.A. finishing with a better record than Chicago and Pittsburgh, which is kind of it could happen.
Maybe that was true right at the beginning of the season. Yeah,
but with those injuries right now, I do think the Giants are in a better position to get the West, especially with the 7 games of head-to-head. That's going to make the difference, I think.
So these stats are kind of interesting, Chad. Why don't you walk us through some of these? And this is the entire Chicago series, correct? And
right.
The Giants actually led only and 2 actually, points throughout the entire series.
It was only one time. That was
one half inning.
It's even worse.
Yeah.
I put twice, and I forgot to edit that, but they only led once in 4 games during the entire series, which is unbelievable. And a lot of people are thinking, oh, we should have stole. I mean, because they did lose 3 out of 4 games by 2 runs or less, right? So you're thinking, oh, man, every game was close. In the last game, they had bases loaded with nobody out. One hit here, one hit there. Yeah, that's technically possible, but I mean, they were just outplayed by the Cubs, and Bruce Bochy and even Buster Posey in their interview said they just outplayed us, and the stats bear that out. The Giants only hit 216 against the Cubs, while the Cubs hit 278. They had 4-3 home runs. The Cubs scored 22 runs, Giants 13. I think the biggest difference, though, is the ERA. The Giants' ERA was almost double that of Chicago, with a 6.19 to Chicago's 3.25. And that really bore itself out with guys like Matt Cain and Vogelsong and others. And it's just, it's unfortunate it happened, but, you know, the Giants need, they're starting pitching, and the bullpen wasn't that bad this series, but their starting pitching really needs to solidify its base if they're going to have any shot at the division or the wild card.
And that I think, is where everything kind of starts right now for the Giants. But I think that's where everything starts right now for the Giants is that rotation is just really up in the air right now, because after Heston and Bumgarner, everybody's a question mark, you know, every single person. And with Leak, we thought we were going to get something So, yeah, so we should probably talk about this. He's actually on the DL, correct?
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. And do you have any word on how serious this is?
Bobby Evans was on KNBR. They don't think it's too serious. It does look like he's going to miss his second start because he was put on the 15-day DL. But what's unfortunate is that he's only been on the DL one time in his career, and that was his rookie season, 2010. So
he's always been a durable guy.
Yeah, you know? He's been real durable, and it's incredible that the Giants sign him, and then he hurts his hammy during a workout, and then he's got to go on the shelf for at least two starts. And it's just kind of like, what the? And you think, okay, look, if they can win one out of two of his missed starts, it's not going to be a disaster.
It's not disaster, sure.
But they already lost the first one, and that was Vogelsong. And so you think, okay, well, they got to win the second one. Because if they don't, and I don't know who it's going to be. Is it going to be Vogelsong again? Do you guys know?
It's got to be.
Well, they brought up Osich, but he's not.
But he's on relief.
Yeah, so it's pretty much Vogelsong or bust, I think.
Right, so if it happens again, then you got to chalk at least one win up during the season to that injury. And it's just little things like that which could make the difference between, you know,
as close as it is now, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. So, you know, right now I think that's the biggest issue that the Giants are facing, and that was the issue that we addressed at the break, you know, was the starting rotation. And it's just one of those snake-bitten seasons right now where, you know, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. So it's kind of just we have this this kind of floating, rotating rotation that's always going to be a living, breathing body, if you will. That's, you know, it's never just a solidified,
kind of perpetually in flux.
Yeah, think about some of the years that we won. You know, we just kind of the same guy every fifth day, and they all were doing pretty well, and that was the strength of the team. I mean, 2010 especially. We've been able to get through with a little less than that in other years, but it's really, really tough to compete in the major leagues without like when you get injuries in the starting rotation. Right? That's I think is a big key to what's going on with the Giants right now. So.
Peavy's really stepped it up lately.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. The guy's been 1,000 times better than I thought he would be. He's kind of getting through his six innings and giving them a chance to win. They had it yesterday.
No, he's absolutely stepped up, and he's come back much better than he was before he went down in the first place. And we needed him to because, you know, like our options are really thinning out. I mean, Hudson is – he may not pitch again this season, really. I mean, if you think about it. Unless we – and if he does, it probably means really bad news for somebody else, right?
Right.
It probably means Leak never came back. It probably means, you know, all sorts of terrible things happen. But you know, we're running out of options right now. So we need Cain to step it up. We need Vogelsong to do okay in the starts that he gets, which maybe not very many down the stretch. And we need Leak to come back. And then outside of that, we need Heston and Bumgarner to just do what they've been doing, which is kind of saving us right now.
It's tough too because with Cain, it does kind of feel like we're not seeing vintage Cain per se, but like the arms there, just not the aim.
Yeah. He doesn't have the control he had, and it could be because he's still trying to figure out how to pitch again at the big league level.
This is the emergency extended spring training in a way.
I want to jump to that right now because that's one of the points.
Let's talk about it
here. And you know, Cain is one of those guys you figure his first few starts he's going to be a little rough, and they were, and then he started to settle down. He had a couple of really good starts there, and you thought, okay, well, maybe he's settling down, maybe his spring training is over, but the consistency is not there, the trajectory is not going up. And that's what really concerns me. And you just said you're concerned about not his speed or his velocity or his break. It's his location, and that's exactly what I'm worried about. I mean, the first inning against Chicago, he hit a guy and he walked a guy, and he's continually doing that in most of his starts. And right now, this year, he's 2-3 with a 5.59 ERA and a 1.59 WHIP. I mean, yeah, it's like 37 innings or something like that, but that's not going to get it done. He needs to bring those numbers down by a tremendous amount. Eric, you brought up Peavy. He was a guy who I thought was going to have those numbers.
Yeah.
And, I'm throwing out his stats because overall he's a 3.75, which is still fine. That's great.
For where he is in our rotation, 3.75 is great.
For the year. Exactly, yeah. For the year. Mm-hmm. But post-DL, because I kind of chalk up his injury to maybe contributing to some of his issues in the beginning of the year.
Sure, he was being real stubborn about it because he's Jake Peavy, and that's what he does best.
So post-DL, he's 2-1, and of course he got that loss yesterday, with a 3.07 ERA and a 1.02 WHIP. So only one batter an inning is reaching base. I mean, those are stellar numbers. Those are better than Bumgarner.
Yeah,
he has been absolutely
fantastic. The ultimate in small sample size, but yeah, absolutely.
Well, of course, but
that's the definition of riding the hot hand, I guess. Yeah.
Ride the hot hand.
Jake Peavy's my guy right now. He's listening to Grateful Dead, and he's putting the Giants in a position to win. He's totally just rolling out there, doing his thing. Yeah, he's doing his thing, being like all Mr. Intense and giving them a shot every time. I was totally wrong on him. I thought he was done this year, but he's going to help them if they're going to make it.
Yeah,
absolutely. And if Leak does come back, and if Kane can at least become essentially serviceable, I think we're actually in a really good spot. You know, if Peavy can continue anywhere near this, because if you think about what Heston and Bumgarner have done, you know, consistently throughout the season, they're fine. I mean, those two guys are fine.
Yeah, they're fine.
If those are your 1-2 guys, and then the other three guys are essentially just keeping you in the game every time and giving your offense, which. While the offense looked pretty bad over the last week or so, we still are one of the top offenses in Major League Baseball, right? So, I mean, when everything's going right. Now, one of the big questions for the Giants right now is the leadoff spot, and this is an interesting thing that Chad posted here that I saw in McCovey Chronicles myself, but Aoki should be our leadoff hitter, correct? The way that he's been swinging the bat.
But unfortunately, God hath decreed that Pagan shall lead Thou off.
Yeah, so Pagan somehow...
which I think actually comes from the McCovey Chronicles article. I knew I saw that somewhere today.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's an interesting thing because Aoki does... Or it's Aoki, I think is how he actually
puts it. Aoki.
Aoki has a one-year deal with an option, a team option for the second year. And there's some stipulations that go along. So, Chad, why don't you break down what's actually going to happen here?
Right. So what's interesting, he has a team option for next year, 2016, for $5.5 million, but only if
Aoki
fails to reach 550 plate appearances. So if he does reach 550, then it becomes a mutual
automatic vesting option.
Exactly. He would likely decline because his stats have been pretty good this year.
Yeah, he's hitting over 300.
He knows he's going to get more money than 5.5 on the market. So if he doesn't hit 550, the Giants have exclusive rights to sign him for $5.5 million. So what's really interesting is he's on a trajectory right now. There's 51 games remaining. If he plays every single game in the 1 or 2 hole, he will probably exceed it by maybe 10 to 20 ABs, or plate appearances, I should say. However, if he misses around 5 games is the magic game kind of amount right now, where it's going to be really close and he may not make it. And my question is, outside of injury, which, you know, he got hit in the head yesterday.
Yeah, hit in the head, and he's okay.
They're saying right now he's not going to go
on
the 7-day.
Sounds like they think he's okay.
Yeah, exactly. If he were to go on the 7-day concussion list, I don't think he's going to make the 550. So if he does continue to play, fine. What do the Giants do in this situation? I mean, obviously they're going to play him as much as they can.
Well, is there
a little seed in the back of their minds that's going to rest him maybe once every 2 weeks or something, thinking
about the future?
The
division race is too close, though. The division race is way too close.
No, I agree with you. I do, and the Giants have never been a team to think about next year versus if they have a chance this year.
Mm-hmm.
But it still enters the mind.
But the thing is, the Giants also have the confidence in their ability to re-sign guys that like being on the team because they've done it a number of times. You know, not everybody comes back, and Pablo's probably the best example of that in recent history. But for the most part, you know, you get guys who will come back and they'll sign for lower than they would have somewhere else because they like this team, they like what's going on here, and they want to stick around. And it seems like Aoki's fit in pretty well overall, you know.
No, I don't. The Giants are going to play Aoki.
I
don't
believe he'd want to come back, but
he'd
have to get paid. Right,
he'd want to get, yeah. I mean, it's at that point, you wonder, from the Giants' perspective, you think it's less the exclusivity thing and more the $5 million, because with the numbers that Aoki's putting up, he could probably command a little under 10 right now.
Yes, mm-hmm. I agree.
So,
what it looks like to me, though, is you're really only be saving, like, you know, a few million, right?
But it's a weird thing to say, but it's the Giants, so what can you do?
Yeah.
No,
just a few million dollars.
They're not going to sit him anytime soon. I think
you
would.
You would if Pagan was actual Pagan.
That's what I was going to bring up. So I think you play him as much as you can right now, and you wait to see what cards you're dealt. And those main cards, I think, are one, he could get hurt, which then you don't have to worry about making that decision. Or two, Pagan somehow heats up and becomes the Pagan of old, and he goes into a slump, and then they switch him out. And then there's no like, oh, the Giants are playing a little chicanery here. You know, it's like, no, they're just playing the hot hand.
So let's talk about Pagan. Pagan's having a huge problem right now. Right? So, I mean, Eric, do you have any thoughts on what's going on with this guy? Like, is it just the knee?
He forgot how to baseball.
Well, he forgot how to baseball, and now he's broken, so he can't baseball anymore.
Yeah. But okay, so if we sat him, like if we just said, let's just sit Pagan let's put him on the DL. Let's let him just get the knee back, right?
Right.
Do you feel like he could come back and be the spark plug that we've seen from him in the past? Or do you think that he's just gone past his expiration date as a player, as a quality center fielder?
I think he's like a guy who needs to bat in the bottom of the order now, and Aoki should be leading off as much as he's there. Yeah. And if Aoki's not playing that day, Blanco should be leading off. He's kind of earned it this year. He's put himself in position to. Blanco's the reason that we can have this whole discussion about Pagan.
Because we have the depth to be able to switch somebody in and have a major league quality starter.
Yeah, Blanco, I always go back to it. The guy started on 2012 and 2014. He's hitting better this year with tips that apparently he got from Aoki. And he's getting on base just as much. I tried my hardest. he got on base. He's getting on base pretty good. I mean, it's because of that I think he could, like, be a factor. But, I mean, not as a leadoff man again. I think Angel.
No,
He's on the backside of his career. The guy's he's done, but I mean, he won't run into a wall anymore.
As a center fielder, like, it's real hard to be a center fielder when your knees are starting to go out. Yeah. And we won't move Pagan to a side of the field because it's not where he's comfortable. But that comfort zone is starting to hurt us.
You can do it in the off season. You can totally do it in the off season. Stick him in left field maybe.
Yeah,
but not in the middle of the season.
So I think really though the weird thing for me is that, you know, Pagan is struggling and he's not just normal struggling. Like he's, you know, this is we're talking like sub 200 for a while now. You know, not hitting anything for power. He's not, you know, he's not taking walks. He's just not doing anything correctly right now. You know, his at bats are, he comes up and you just kind of go, all right, well that's one out, and that's a really bad spot to be in. However, I do want to point out that last year, you know, Blanco was the guy scuffling at the plate every single time he came up. And we were dealing with a guy hitting sub 200 as our leadoff hitter. And,
this isn't a team that's good at making decisions that last forever. It's just not the nature of the business, but it's also not the nature of the team necessarily.
It's riding the hot hand, but I also want to remind people, like, because I listened to the radio and everyone's basically just like people just want him like DFA. They just like want him like out of here. Just forget him.
No,
as soon as anybody scuffled, the answer on that radio has is DFA. Come on,
but people are clamoring for a guy that last year they wanted DFA'd in Gregor Blanco. So like the game of baseball doesn't. It's not a game like basketball where you know a guy goes out and pretty much does this every game, right? You have hot and cold streaks, and sometimes those are extended. And I don't think Pagan is just a player who's just done. I think he's a player who has to be healthy to be effective at this point in his career. I don't think that just means he's done. I think Eric, you make a very good point that he's also not a leadoff hitter anymore. You know, he doesn't have the tools.
I think he's done in center, but that's a very specific.
No, I think he should be a left fielder who it's like seventh in the order for the rest of his career, however long that lasts.
A question. I mean, I know you were just saying that you can't move Pagan to another field right now. Maybe wait till the offseason. But if you can put Travis Ishikawa in the outfield for the playoffs, why can't you just move him to another field?
You can't. He's given us enough that Bruce Bochy is respecting him.
Nori Aoki in center field is not a better option, though.
No, Blanco is.
But Blanco is.
Blanco is a better option.
It's all ego. No, but it's all ego.
No, I know. He's a veteran player.
Yeah.
You don't shove a veteran player around.
But there comes a point where Bruce Bochy can't ignore a guy hitting 196 for 15 games.
You stop earning it after a while. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what Pagan is currently doing. We'll see what happens from it.
We as baseball fans who actually like do a podcast need to have a longer memory than your average standard fan, because you know we remember when Pagan went down in 2011,
Everything
and everything just went to hell, right?
It was 2013.
Thank you. When Pagan went down in 2013 after the walk-off or the walk-off inside the park home run, that the Giants completely tanked without him. So, you know, he is a guy that is capable of bringing quality to the team, but at a certain point in your career, and he's 34 now, you slow down. You're not the player you once were. So, you know, I think Eric, you're absolutely right. I think he hits seventh and plays left field for the next few years if he stays as a
starter. Dude is still a plus-plus smoky stare and hair quality, though.
He's still got the sexiest hair on the team outside of Brandon Crawford, for sure.
Just most intense eye looks ever. I'm just saying.
Well, you know,
is that win your ball games? Maybe.
The good news for us is that we do have a guy like Blanco, and what you brought up too, Eric, that he was a starting outfielder on two World Series teams. The guy hasn't really gotten a lot of credit for that over his career, but he's got tools, man. He's a guy who can do what you need him to do.
There's whatever is like a couple rungs below streaky, just like prone to slumping.
Yeah,
that's Blanco. Blanco's not streaky per se. When he's on, he'll stay on for quite a while. When he's scuffling, he'll scuffle for a while. But at the same time, he'll be pretty consistent during that stretch. We're not talking like a week at a time. He'll lose it. He'll lose it for like two straight months.
And he brings plus defense and plus speed. So you know, he's just always going to give you that. All right, let's move on to the big question. 22 games left versus teams over 500, and we are 0-4. A lot of people have been making a big deal about this stretch of 26 games.
Schedule hell.
There's only 2 days off within this run, and every single team is an over 500 team that is competing for the playoffs in some form or fashion, right?
Yep.
So the Giants are going to kind of make or break their season. Not necessarily break it, or not necessarily make it, but could break it over this stretch.
It's a strong determinant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, where are you guys? I mean, obviously 0-4 isn't the way you want to start, but let's go around the horn and like, where do we feel the Giants are capable of actually finishing during this stretch? So, Chad, why don't you, where do you think we're at here and possibly going to end up?
I think the most important games are going to be the ones that they're competing directly against. So, I exclude, to some degree, the Nationals, certainly exclude the Cardinals. Obviously, I mean, the Pirates are in there. Do they play them actually in this stretch? I don't think so, do they?
Yeah, they go to Pittsburgh next week.
I think
week.
They do, right? Yeah.
So they're in the mix with the Cubs, of course, for the wild card. And, of course, the Dodgers. Look, we all know what happened last year. They had that tremendous start, 42-21, and then they tanked for about 2.5 months. And everybody wrote off the season, but they had a miraculous end of August and September, and they wrote it into the wild card. So even if they're under 500 for this 26-game stretch, they have a really favorable September. And as long as they're within striking distance, I'd say 5-6 games during the last month of the year, they got a shot because they play the guys like Arizona and Colorado. It's a lot of interdivision kind of things.
And let's face it, even though our division has been just beating up on us, they're also not very good.
They're just not very good, right? I don't think that's going to continue.
I may include us, but they're just not very good.
Right. Yeah. And then one more series against LA. So, and then the A's at the end of the season as well. So I'm hoping they go 500 during this stretch, but I don't think it'll be a disaster if they're slightly under 500. Now, if it's something like, 8 and you know, whatever it is, 8-18, 8-18, yeah, I guess, 18. Something like that.
There you go.
That's going to hurt. That's going to hurt. So I think anything within a couple of games under 500, they're going to kind of tread water. So
yeah, I mean, I tend to agree. If the Giants can stay above 500 by the end of this stretch as just a team, then they're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're looking at going the last month of the season with, you know, strong prospect of beating up on lesser teams.
All division and the Reds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So there's not a lot of quality out there when you're talking about that. Now, the tricky thing here, though, is we are going to have three more against the Cubs. The Nationals are obviously a team with a lot of talent. The Cardinals, the Pirates, these are all teams with a lot of talent. So,
And the Dodgers.
And the Dodgers, yeah. So
on the bright side, some of these are teams that we get at home.
End it with them.
Which is just as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm going to face the Nats now, I'd rather, in the middle of this stretch, I'd rather face the Nats at home. I'm not really excited about us going to Busch Stadium right about now, but I'm
no, it seems like the Nationals is much scarier in their home park.
Yeah.
So.
It's like saying, let's go play the Rockies in Coors Field versus let's have the Rockies come here. One of those things strikes fear into my heart, and one of them just depends on how they're doing.
It tickles my heart.
You know what's bizarre to me is how good the Cardinals have been this year with their roster. I don't know if you guys have been paying much attention to them, but
Cy Young Award winner. Yeah, I mean
they don't seem to have like an overpowering roster at all in any respects, and somehow they're just tearing everybody up.
Amazing.
I don't understand. I mean, it's a lot of people that don't tend to get a lot of nobody wants to give the credit to them anyway in the first place because they're the Cardinals, which is fine. Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot of there's a couple of people like that have been good in the past. You know, Hayward, Reynolds. Even Johnny Peralta.
It's just they're not like overwhelming names, right? So who's the star on that team?
640 ball. They're 31 games over 500. Yeah. That's just stupid.
They remind me of the Giants of some of these championship Giants teams where it's like who's the star? I mean, we have Buster, but like
they remind me of the 92 star on Giants. That
team is basically what? John Lackey? I mean,
possibly. Yeah.
Yadier Molina with home runs.
Well, Yadier is not like Yadier of like 5 years ago where he's
two home run Yadier Molina in 102 games. Right.
Yeah.
Tired Yadi.
Yeah. Tired
Yadi.
He's tired on opening day now, Yadier. Like, he's been catcher for this long does to him, man.
I mean, he's still hitting 282. Like, he's not bad.
Well, I mean, Pittsburgh.
He doesn't move anymore. He's becoming more Benji,
right? I mean, most likely St. Louis is going to win the division, right? Because they got a 5-game lead and 8.5 game lead over Pittsburgh and Chicago. So one of those guys is probably going to be in the wild card, if not both.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably, at least they're on trajectory, to finish better than the Dodgers and the Mets and the Nationals or whoever wins the other two divisions. Yet those guys, of course, coast in for a 5-game series. But one of these teams that might have the second best record in the National League has got to have a 1-game playoff.
Yep.
And that's the one thing that really does suck about the wild card. But hey, benefit of the Giants last year, so I'm not complaining.
Exactly. Yeah, I'll take a 1-card game at this point, like the way things are going this season. All right, let's finish off by picking some guys, hating on some guys, and talking about why we win at all. So Chad, why don't you start us off with a favorite guy?
Oh, man. Have you guys seen that softball player who hit the backwards swing home run? That was just fantastic.
They're like the Chevaliers or the Chevaliers
in Ontario or something like that. But anyway, I'll post a link to it in the next one I post it up tonight.
Oh, just good. I didn't see that.
Stands in the opposite batter's box, as a righty.
So, Eric, imagine as a righty, you're going to be in the left batter's box, right?
And you're aiming away from the plate?
So, no. So, he's a right-handed swinger, right?
Well, yeah,
so
but he's like facing.
You'd normally be facing home plate in the left batter's box. He's standing in the right batter's box facing away from home plate. So, his back is to home plate.
That's what I meant. Yeah, he's facing away from the plate.
Okay. So, it's a fast pitch softball game. Granted, it's not coming in at 80 miles an hour, probably like 50 or something.
Yeah.
But once it comes in, he actually swings clockwise to the right backwards. And he hits it out. One of the most.
How does he even hit the ball? Like, I don't understand. Huh.
His eyes are not anywhere close to the trajectory of the ball.
So this is just like he just did it enough times till he got lucky, or he did this in a game?
Oh, I'm sure he's tried a million times. He sees the release of the ball, but once it's released, he's swinging backwards. He cannot physically see that ball. He's just kind of estimating where it's going to be, and he hits it out. Yeah, beautiful. Never seen anything that's like it. Cool. Right out. New favorite guy.
Okay. I'm actually watching this right now because I need to see this. What the hell? So what's sick about this is there's like people around watching and they're like actually playing a game. There's an umpire. Like,
no, it's a real softball game.
I always assumed there was something like the
like some semi-pro fast pitch softball. Yeah,
like the Harlem Globetrotters of semi-pro fast pitch softball.
It's so something like that.
He must just like destroy everybody when he hits normally or something, right? Like to be doing this,
I would assume.
no one seems to be like questioning that he's like, what the hell?
I actually looked at the crowd after he hit it, and people are like, "Yay! Wow, that was amazing." So it was like, what? Nobody I'd be standing assholes. Up throwing my drink on him.
Assholes.
Yeah.
All right, my new favorite guy is the Pirates. And now the Nationals. Yes. Those are my new favorite guys.
Yes.
Collectively, please keep doing what you're doing until we come to your town. And then stop being.
And then stop.
Yeah, then stop doing that. Do something else. So thank you for keeping us in reach of the division.
Yep.
All right, Ben, you got a new favorite guy?
I do. I always tack something onto the end, though. So, Eric, do you have anything you want to throw in before me?
Yeah, I got a new favorite guy. My new favorite guy is the Giants subreddit. Those guys have been great. They've been so interactive. They've been so much fun lately. I mean, the Giants going through these ups and downs and these crazy streaks, and it's fun watching everybody kind of react and have fun in there. So my new favorite guy is the Giants subreddit. That's a fun place.
By the way, they have a podcast that they've started doing now. Some of the guys that I interviewed, actually, for this show, started their own podcast.
If Willie can do it, we can do it.
I guess I lit a fire under some.
I was going to say, apparently. Oh, great. Yeah. That's the beginning of the end. Thanks, Willie.
Right.
Hey, no, it's good. We should encourage more people.
No, I'm just kidding.
Today we'd like to announce the TortureCast has been absorbed by the Giants subreddit podcast.
I haven't actually listened past like a little bit of one of the earlier episodes because they were like recording it in a bar or something, and I just...
We've never done that.
We've never done that. But I don't think they're using a very good recorder. But I hear from the subreddit that the last episodes have gotten better quality. So I'm going to check out some of the most recent.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, I haven't checked them out yet.
So yeah, everybody should go listen to those if you like our show and you just like our I just need more shows
if you have time. If you have time.
Yes. After you finish this.
Yes.
Which, admittedly,
don't stop this show now.
They have time.
All right, Ben, who you got?
All right. For a new favorite guy, I'm actually going to go with Josh Osich, who hasn't gotten a ton of time with the team, but man, has he ever looked good.
He's done well in the time he's pitched so far.
Really has. So. I mean, if you look at his inherited runners scored, I mean, it's insane. Like, the guy just does not like leaving anybody on base. And
he's only thrown like 10 innings or something like that, right?
Yeah. He's
9.1 innings pitched, but 0.96 ERA over that span.
Right. And 0.964 whip, which you would think, you know, it sounds like people have been getting it. But the thing is, when you give him an inherited runner, it's very rare that he allows him to score.
Yeah.
And I mean, a lot of people are talking about, like, are we seeing, you know, potentially the upcoming new core four in Osich, Broadway, Strickland. There's always one other, and I always blank on who it is. Derp. but we've had a couple of...
Well, I think Strickland's definitely...
Kontos?
I mean, Kontos is having a great year, but I don't think he's, like, the new young hot arm, right?
No.
No, I mean, I think Kontos is, what, 30? Maybe?
No, he's younger than that.
28?
He's not, but he's been around. I mean, so yeah, he is 30.
Though, like, sort of the looking forward, like, because we, you know, I think we all can notice that this bullpen is having some rough spots. And other than Javier Lopez, some of them are definitely not what we had in previous years. And they've carried us through a lot. So people are starting to look and see who might be the next up and coming thing. And Josh Osich is one of those names, is sort of the token lefty. And he's really done his part to kind of hold that spot down so far.
Yeah, with Affelt maybe on the backside, Castillo on the backside, we're going to need some of these guys to come up.
Paging totally. Ben Fredley. George Kontos is 30 years old.
Yes, he is.
I retract that statement.
Yeah, I love
that too. I do want to go ahead and make my honorary mention, though. And as my honorary mention today is actually Melky Cabrera and Pablo Sandoval's birthdays.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. That is like the shittiest birthday
that
party
is
ever.
That is so random.
I had no idea they shared a birthday.
Of all the things, right? Yeah. So we'll go ahead and let's be nice to them for all of like 3 minutes.
Happy birthday. Yeah. That's it.
Shut up and eat your PED-laced cake.
This is like
just a giant
frosting.
Cake covered
in fairness,
like,
you know, we don't make it to three championships in 5 years without Pablo, and one of those we don't make without Milky.
That's
so
true.
And the
beer,
and
we'll,
the
we'll
Red
at least
Sox
pretend
to
like
zero
you
with
enough
Pablo,
to
so, yeah.
Right, but that continues anyway, which just means that he's being our secret agent over there, so I'll take it.
Forgot that, yeah.
So we'll go ahead and we'll say that we're going to pretend that we like you guys long enough to say happy birthday and thank you for everything you did for this franchise.
Sure.
Nice.
Now fuck off.
Yeah. Double O fat over there is
gosh. Ouch.
Nice.
So speaking of guys that we currently dislike, who do we hate?
Chad.
That's how we treat our friends.
Oof. Yeah.
You know what?
Look, now he's not a giant. I'm going to talk about his weight all I want, you know? Fuck that. Fuck that fact.
Yeah, right.
When he's our guy, you shut
son
your pie.
Yeah, shut let Pablo pie. Eat. Let Timmy smoke. Oh, they're not giants anymore? Fuck those guys.
Fuck them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, except for Timmy. Never fuck Timmy. Always yeah. Love Timmy.
No matter what. Well, all right.
Oh, boy. All right, so I wouldn't have said this a couple of years ago. Maybe not even 3 months ago. But Hector Sanchez... He has done jack you know what for the Giants this year. I don't know if it was because of his multiple concussions or how he's pretending to become the next Pablo in terms of his physique, but it just sealed the deal, not only with his lack of production this year, and only because of Susak is down right now, of course, on the DL, but his three-pitch strikeout against the Cubs closer yesterday was a thing of anti-beauty. I've never seen anything like that. I mean, first pitch, and he has a mean, you know, slider or curveball in the dirt there. It was a fantastic pitch. Don't get me wrong. First one, in the dirt, swings and misses. All right, cool. Seen it now. Throws it again. Same spot. Swings and misses. In the dirt. It's like, all right, well, he's probably going to go up top with a fastball. Something to change the eyesight. Closer said, nah, I think this guy's a punk. He'll do the same thing again. Sure enough.
I think you're a pansy.
He threw it in the dirt, but over the middle of the plate. Not that it made a difference when it actually bounces in front of the plate. And Hector Sanchez swung and missed again. And I'm just thinking, none of us could have done anything with those three pitches, but he's a major league player. How does a major league player get fooled by the same pitch three consecutive times in that kind of situation? I don't like that
well,
right now.
We could have taken those pitches. That's what we could have.
Well,
but, yeah.
We'd probably be so scared. We would have taken those pitches.
I probably would have been running away. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was the worst at bat of the season.
Well, yeah, it's one of those. His nickname is not Hector for no reason. And
well, no,
just...
I know. And look, everyone gave the Giants shit for the three straight strikeouts. And Pagan's at bat actually was not that bad. He fouled off three straight balls with a 2-2 count.
No, it wasn't.
Blanco. I can't say it was as good, but given one of those pitches that was called a strike about 3 inches outside against Pagan and throughout the game, Blanco should have known that. Not only that, but with a full count, you got the runners going. You know you only need to poke down the line, if not just defend against something that's close to the plate. That ball was only a couple of inches off the plate that was called
strike. Well, you definitely
three.
Don't strike out looking.
No, that's what I'm saying. It was so close. Yes, technically it was a ball, but the umpire had already established his zone, and that was part of the zone. And you just do not get frozen on that kind of pitch. And that would, if he swung and missed, you go, well, at least he swung at it. But to just freeze like that... But, yeah, Hector. Guy I don't like
okay.
So much right now.
Hector be hacking.
Yeah. I got a guy to hate. I'll hate Joe Maddon because he set the tone in that Cubs series by making a pitching change in the fifth inning of the Thursday game. He didn't care about getting his pitcher a win. He just wanted to get his team through the most important portion of the game. So he took out, I believe it was Jason Hamill, and put in Justin Grimm. So I was going to hate on Justin Grimm, but I hate on Joe Maddon for making that move and setting the tone for the whole series.
That's all your fault.
Just sort of the harbinger. Here it comes.
Well, he acted like it was a playoff game. Joe Maddon did the right thing.
Well, he did the right thing.
And it's like totally energized his ball club, and they stepped up. Granted, they gave up the 2-run homer to Crawford the next inning, but like it totally energized the ball club. It might have been Belt, and got the Cubs like believing they could win this. That you know Joe's going all out, and he showed it the next day by benching Starlin Castro right in the middle of this series, and let Addison Russell, who beat the crap out of the ball all weekend against the Giants, start at shortstop. So I hate Joe Maddon right now.
All right, there you go. I like
seems
that.
Legit to me.
I'll stick with this theme, and I'm going to hate Josh Peterson because he's hitting .222, and because of his 21 home runs, he might take the Rookie of the Year award away from
Mario. Wait, is he .222 right now?
Yeah.
There's no way he's going to win Rookie of the Year.
Well, but he's got 21 home runs.
Nah, no.
This is what everyone's talking about. The 221. They can't shut up about the 21 home runs.
222. So, you got Chris Bryant, Matt Duffy, and others.
Yeah, Chris Bryant is I agree that Bryant is
a. I agree that Bryant is a guy that I think is a more deserving candidate right
although
now.
Although he has the most swings and misses out of anyone in MLB this year.
Because Peterson started the year off so hot and with so many home runs so quickly, he got a lot of attention really fast. Now, if he continues to scuffle the way he has been, he's hitting like sub 200 over like the last month or something like that, then he will fall out of it. But
well, and by the way, Matt Duffy leads all rookies and all rookies in WAR.
No, I understand.
By far.
I understand that, which is why I think no one should be even fucking talking about this kid. And yet every time I turn on the goddamn radio and they're talking about it in national news, they're still bringing this guy's name up.
Oh, shit.
So I hate hearing his name and looking at his stats and seeing 222. Right. And Duffy's like not even getting talked about in the same respect. So yeah.
Getting a 307.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not this guy that I hate, other than, but the people who seem to somehow think 21 home runs supplants a 300-plus batting average.
Yeah, which one would you take, objectively?
I'll take a guy who's hitting half the home runs but always getting hits.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Holy crap.
Absolutely. All right. Ben, get him over. Are you ready to hate on people?
You know, I haven't gotten to follow nearly as much baseball as I'd like because work has had me doing a lot of late and closing shifts. Just almost exclusively the last couple of weeks, which is a just real stinker. Yeah, it's, you know, you work retail, you're not always going to go home when the sun is still out, even in the summer. But as a result, the only thing that I have gotten to do is I was working, and every time I would duck into the back, somebody was watching the Republican debates. So I'm just going to go ahead and hate on Donald Trump.
All right.
Lest you think that he's an easy target. No, actually, you're right, he is. So
I, you know, there's plenty of reasons, but the main reason I hate Donald Trump, you know, outside of his politics, is that he thinks that golf should only be for rich people.
Yes,
and he's said as much.
He said so, that. Yep.
Yeah,
yeah, nope. So, yeah, F
defensive.
All right, let's talk about
the money to go and get your own set of clubs. You go do that. You do whatever you want. You don't let somebody
build a wall, get your clubs, accuse women of being on their period. So
solid. He realized that he later said, no, I meant her nose.
I only called Rosie O'Donnell a fat pig.
That's right. Oh, my God.
So anyway.
Can we get him on our podcast?
No.
Please.
No.
You know, he would be a baseball fan if they had a the team in the classy city of Atlantic City, but they don't, so, you know. There's no Vegas or Atlantic City team, so
he can't Trump own the ballpark, so he's not going either.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about why we win it all. Chad, what you got?
Because the Cubs.
Okay.
Look,
lighting
they're
a fire under our ass, or what's going on here? How? Why?
They did just sweep the Giants, but they do have another 3-game series in San Francisco, and they're really hot right now. So they're just, you know, they're going to regress to the mean. They're going to hit a slump. The Giants are going to hit a good winning streak here. The Cubs, of course, have not won since 1908, and their playoff history has not been so kind to them. Since 1945, they've only been in the playoffs 5 or 6 times, 2008, 7, 3, 98, 89, and 84, and they've only advanced once. So, it's going to bite them in the ass. They're not going to make it this year.
I'm on board. And it's not their time yet. They need to
because of their slump. If the Giants win the wild card, it's going to be because of their slump.
All right. I think that the Giants are going to win it all because Leake's going to come back and he's going to save us because, the thing about this Leake situation.
Sitting in mightily every fifth day.
I just think that, yeah, exactly. I think that Leake is not a guy who sits for very long. I think he's going to be just fine. I don't, his move to the plate doesn't seem to put much stress. I think he can get away with a little bit of an injury and still be effective because of the way he pitches, the movement and all that stuff. He's not like somebody who needs to have all, like, he's not Lincecum where everything needs to work perfectly to do what he does with the baseball. And I think that, you know, the rotation, just if he can just pitch every fifth day and just do what he does, which is like the other team will score 2 to 3 runs, sometimes a little bit more, but he'll pitch, you know, into the seventh inning And then that's just going to save a lot of bullpen pressure. That's going to allow our offense to win some games that we wouldn't have won without him. And I think that's going to make the difference in the end.
Nice.
So Leek needs to come back, so. But once he does, we got this. Eric, what you got?
I'm just going to simply go with Joe Panik, because when Joe Panik's healthy and plays baseball for the Giants in September, October, they win the World Series.
That's a proven fact. We have never
ironclad formula right. so far.
Yeah. It is ironclad. A fact. So yeah.
They have not won a World Series without him.
Yeah,
exactly.
So what Joe do we Panik. Know? What's up with his back, though? Are we aware of how serious this is? Because I thought it was like nothing really, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh no, he's on the DL now, and we're bringing up this kid, and you know,
yeah,
it looks it'll be just supposed to be bad, right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Good news.
They're thinking just inflammation. Sounds like it shouldn't be too bad. Thankfully.
Yeah.
Because yeah, if we were in a situation where you know, I like the kid we brought up, but I don't think. Yeah. I mean, Tomlinson's not going to save us yet.
Yeah.
You know?
Tomlinson's been nice, but Joe Panik is Joe Panik. Yeah. And exactly. You don't just replace that.
No.
Yeah.
Although we were really close for a couple of days there, it was very strange.
Well, I don't think Tomlinson
is the Joe Panik of this year, is what you know.
There was a couple of those plays that in the Atlanta series that you know you can't say that Panik would have had him, but might have.
Panik has shown he could have had him in the past.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. All right, I like it. Who are we missing? Ben.
Yar. I mean, I have a pretty straightforward, like, we're going to win it all because lol Dodgers.
Just lol Dodgers lose, yeah.
Just because lol Dodgers. The anti-Cena you know, wins. Something, right, exactly. It's we're playing the Kevin Owens to the Dodgers John Cena, and like something's going to go horribly wrong.
Either go over at SummerSlam then, but okay.
Well, can we get our win back already? I think that the Dodgers just they're a stewing mass of waiting to go wrong, and it's not even like it's starting to get documented to the point that like Molly Knight and other writers are pretty much going yeah things are not good. They're not bad because Trade this team is all made of good people, and like you've got guys like Andre Ethier on the bench coming off the bench to just destroy people, but things are not good. Like the clubhouse just. Yeah. Cannot get their shit together.
Every time I hear about the Dodgers have made a move, the first question I ask is, oh, so they finally dropped Mattingly? Oh, no, they didn't. Okay, well, never mind.
That's a big thing.
We don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, whatever. Do whatever you guys want. Yeah,
Keep Mattingly. Yeah.
Just as long as you keep Mattingly in that dugout, I just don't think they're ever going to win anything. So.
Yeah. His war is like -5, I think.
Somehow, as a manager, he loses more baseball games than anybody else.
It's only -5, -10.
Like how does a big league squad like keep this guy as the manager?
I don't know. It should be a Saturday
Night Live.
He's
probably the guy who told that guy to swing backwards. Like that.
You did it once. Do it again.
That's what it is. He keeps giving weird things, and they luck into it.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah,
guy says, yeah, sure, whatever. Just hits a home run backwards out of the park.
Do you think like Puig's bullshit would last for a moment on the Giants? Like,
oh,
I don't think
no.
so. You know, this is why Pablo wanted out because
maybe
he wanted
on the 49ers.
He could, yeah, well,
in fairness, we did put up with Pablo for a while, but we were a little bit hard on him at times. But we
but
never
look at
like,
what happened when he left bench. Though. Like he was never like in the bathroom. Like pooping and liking Instagram girls, you know what I mean? Like he at least was like,
at least he wasn't discovered doing that. Yeah,
yeah. I don't know. It's just it's a weird situation over there in LA. All right, that's gonna
can't
do
make
it, for
it through a podcast without Pablo in the bathroom.
That's right.
Yeah. Well,
that's gonna do it for episode 93. Thanks everybody for listening. We are getting close to episode 100, you guys, which we're gonna have to start thinking about.
We're gonna have to do a thing.
We have to do
something. It'll be next season, but still. We're going to have to do a thing.
Technically, we've got way more than 100 episodes, but...
Yeah. we don't
Well, we do with the bonus episodes, yeah.
We got all these bonus episodes and stuff, but yeah. Episode 100 will be some sort of big deal. We should probably get some guests, and we'll figure something out. We'll start talking about it, but that's cool that's coming up. Wow, that's crazy. All right, so I want to thank you guys for joining me. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we are at TortureCast. Individually, we are at ChadK21. Ben is at Fried Duck. Eric is at 2OutHits, and I am at Willie Dills. Go to torturecast.com. There's a bunch of stories up recently because Eric has been hard at work in our absence from the podcast. So thank you very much, Eric. And I encourage everyone to go check those out. There's a lot of good stuff over there. Like us on Facebook, check out the YouTube channel, do all the things that interact with us, and go over to Reddit anytime, like, you know, something's posted about us, and upvote that shit, because it helps, you know, helps more people find out about this
show.
Because
we can't post about that.
Exactly. Well, yeah, we need people to upvote that, you know, for us. So, and the guys at Reddit, you know, they're aware of who we are now, so they're very receptive to things about the TortureCast at this point.
You guys, we're cool internet guys, famous now.
Oh, that's, yeah, totally.
Oh,
yeah.
Totally.
It's official.
Yeah. And we will see you guys next time for episode number 94. Boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at torturecast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.